$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Brian Higgins.
Yellow.
And no Rick Maxian.
No Rick.
Rick texted us and said he came down with the plague.
Rico is sicko.
I think maybe he had a bad batch of cranberry sauce or something.
Yes.
Over
probably.
The Thanksgiving meal.
Tainted stuffing.
Oh, yeah. Tainted stuffing. Beep, beep. Sometimes I feel. How was your Thanksgiving, sir? Did you have a good time?
It was good.
Yeah, went over to the sisters. Yeah.
And the food was great.
For Thanksgiving, we went out to see relatives out in Indiana. And it's the thing that's most interesting is that I'm amazed by, because we live in an area where there's like a lot of chain restaurants.
Yes.
Take that and multiply it by like 10 out there.
Really?
And a lot of the ones that like we don't have. So there's like the Steak and Shake and the Checkers and the Rallies.
Was there
a
Shoney's?
No, there wasn't Kroger's. Oh. And, you know, there was all these kind of like ones where I'm like, you know, if I had time, I'd really like to stop and like
Popeyes.
Try every. Oh, yeah, they had Popeyes.
Oh.
They had everything. So a lot of the ones that we didn't have. But that was 13 hours, then drove 13 hours back and then had a lazy day today.
You
to
really,
catch up on
you
sleep.
Should have gone to every chain restaurant to justify a 13-hour drive.
Yeah, I should have, yeah. But, you know, at every stop, there was just an Arby's to stop at. So.
Well, you have to walk into each one, just say, give me one of your signature dish.
Let me compare and contrast.
And then just come back with all of them in takeout containers.
Just like set up all the burgers and chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, carefully labeled takeout containers. Then you do a big taste test.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, it would be kind of cold though at that point. I think after 13 hours in a car, it'd be a little chilly.
If it can't be tasty 13 hours later, it's not worth
eating. Oh, that's the sign
of
approval. Yeah. Speaking of weird food on the road, we did a reviews it this past week of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for our Thanksgiving episode. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I am.
I'm trying to figure out where the weird food comes in.
One of the things that we brought up in the main episode that we really didn't get to touch upon, really, was this deleted scene that I watched again. There's a scene, actually, where Del Griffith and Neil Page are stuck on the plane because of the snowstorm. They can't wait, and they have a conversation about airplane food.
What's the deal with airplane
food?
Yeah,
what's the deal? Oh, I got some Ovaltine. I thought it'd be interesting to kind of play that scene because I don't know on the version if you watch, Brian, if you had seen this deleted scene or not, but it was kind of interesting. It just kind of played into Del Griffith's mindset and how often he travels and he lives on the road.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rolls for the road and how he's got a guy for everything. So I thought it was an interesting scene to take a listen. So let's listen to that deleted scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I'll be right with you. All right, listen up, everybody. If you all don't quit asking me for stuff, nobody's getting a thing.
I always order a special meal. On this airline, I go with a seafood salad. On American, I'll have their kosher plate. Little slices of salami, some roast beef, some turkey, dark rye bread. Very nice. Now, if I'm flying United, I'll say I'm a youngster. I'll come eat a kiddie plate. That's a hot dog, a bag of potato chips, a gherkin, and a nice little bag of Oreo cookies. Mm.
What do you think this is?
Ooh. Well, about 7 hours ago, that was lasagna. But with all the delays, I heat it. Reheat it again until, it looks like that. I had a friend once who worked in the kitchen here, you know, preparing the food. She lopped the top of her finger off slicing carrots one night. She looked in the pot. She looked for it and looked for it, never could find it. She thinks that it was served on the Singapore run. Isn't that something? Do you believe that they would do that? If you elect not to proceed with that, I'd gladly take it off your hands.
Go ahead.
Thanks. How about your bun?
No. It's too hard.
Sir?
No.
Sir? Excuse me. Would you like a bun?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, the flight's fun.
No. Would you like the bun?
Yeah, what's that?
I'm offering you a bun.
Speak up.
You want the bun?
No, I just got started.
He said, do you want the bun?
yes. Thank you.
There you go. How about another salad?
No.
Take this salad. He has one and he's not hungry. Some salad dressing.
I'd like the brownie.
The brownie?
No,
sure.
No, I'd like that.
You want the brownie? He won't give you the brownie. He's got a sweet tooth.
Isn't he a nice fella?
I guess you're not going to want your brownie now.
No.
Why? Would you like half?
Oh, would you?
Certainly. There you go, the big side.
Let me describe what's going on in that scene there. So they're waiting on the tarmac. The flight attendant, everyone's bothering her for food. Del Griffith has a meal that he orders for, a special meal for whatever airline he's on.
Yep.
So he orders, you know, the kid's meal here. And he says, I tell him I'm a kiddie. Like, why would anyone believe that he's a kid? I don't know. But he gets the kid's meal there. He gets the kosher meal.
It used to be that you ordered the meal in advance.
That's true, right.
So, like, when you got the ticket, you would...
you couldn't see what they look like, right?
Yeah, so if there's certain airlines where he would just order the kid's meal.
Right.
There's no reason why they wouldn't serve it to you if you're sitting in that
seat.
Yeah,
exactly. Hey, why not? And then Neil orders, he's got this lasagna that kind of looks inedible. It's all brown and gross, but yet Del will still take it, gets Neil's bun too, and offers it to the old man. So that old man who we brought up in the, you know, who was like in everything, episodes of Seinfeld, things like that, he actually gets some lines, and he's got a kind of like a hard of hearing joke where they're like, you want the bun? He's like, no, I'm not even started yet, you know, because he thinks it says done. And then finally, Neil says he does want the brownie, and what you didn't see in that clip, because you just heard it, is he's about to eat the brownie, and this girl in front of him takes her hair and puts it behind the seat, goes right into his brownie.
Oh.
So he can't get it. Yet Del goes, I guess you're not going to eat it. And he goes, I'll take it. Again, he doesn't really care about stuff like that. So Neil gets no food whatsoever, and Del will take tainted food over nothing.
I mean, it's a brownie. Just got a little hair on it.
Yeah, just a little hair on it. But
it's on it. It's not necessarily in it. It's a brownie.
True. He could have, like, scraped off the top or something. Yeah. But so that was the deleted scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. But, I mean, a bit fun, but I could see why they would cut it. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not essential to the plot.
But it does cover something that doesn't seem to be very forefront to the plot, which was them eating on the road.
Yes.
We don't get a lot of scenes of them having meals.
Well, they were at like a diner at one point.
Yeah, but it's not something where consistently we're seeing them stop for, you know, three meals a day or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I didn't even ask you, Brian, did you kind of, I know a lot of things were happening with Thanksgiving, but did you have a chance to kind of reflect over this movie a little bit more and think about it?
Not much.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you probably did a little more reflection since you were in an automobile.
I was in an automobile.
On your way to Thanksgiving.
And I had made many stops, and you can just kind of feel, although our ride was rather smooth, just the trials and tribulations of just a normal trip on the road.
Yes,
not even a thing where things go awry all the time and you have to keep switching modes of transportation. But the thing about immediately watching this movie before getting on the road for Thanksgiving is you could immediately apply everything that happens in the movie to, like, oh, I stop here. Oh, I see this. This could have happened. That could have happened.
Yeah.
Like, there was a direct correlation to things.
You very easily can see how there could be a 3-hour cut of the movie.
Yeah, somewhere. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Still a great movie, I'd say.
Absolutely.
So it was, wonderful. And I think right before getting on the road is kind of the perfect time to watch it as well. So I appreciated it even more. And felt that it was wonderful. So a few fun facts about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So this is interesting, but kind of makes sense. So no transportation company wanted to appear inept or deficient in any way appearing this movie. So crews had to rent 20 miles of train track, refurbish old train cars, construct a set that looked like an airline terminal, design a rent a car company logo and uniforms, and rent 250 cars for their rent a car sequence. So basically, no name brand transportation company wanted to appear in this film looking awful.
That makes sense.
Which makes sense to me, too, you know? So that you probably want like a bunch of generic ones.
And especially for the scene there at the rental car desk,
yeah.
And I don't think anyone really wanted to be associated with that.
Yes, that's true. This is John Candy's favorite film of his own.
Oh, I can believe that.
Yeah, I can believe that, too. I could see that. Great performance, by the way.
Indeed.
In the airport scene when they're in Wichita, when the airline employee announces that the flight has been canceled, which was Ben Stein, you can see on the board behind him that the destination of the flight is, quote, nowhere. That's pretty fun. The marathon car rental scene we were just talking about, that fictional rental car company that they created, is exactly 1 minute long from the time Steve Martin starts his tirade to the time the attendant ends the scene. In that 60 seconds, the word fucking is used 18 times.
Oof.
That word is only said in that scene. Oh, so they don't say it throughout the movie. I didn't even recognize it. It's just that one scene. John Hughes, in an interview on Those Aren't Pillows DVD edition, which is the one I watched it on, he said he was inspired to write the film's story after an actual flight from New York to Chicago he was on that was diverted to Wichita, Kansas, thus taking him 5 days to get home. So it actually happened to him. Oh, and Brian, you had brought up the three-hour version of this film.
Yep.
Because John Hughes had shot over 600,000 feet, 180,000 meters of film, almost twice the industry average. The rumored three-hour version of the film is considered a mess of footage that would have taken months, even years, according to Hughes, to transform into an actual film. It's locked away in a Paramount vault, and according to Hughes, most of it's probably deteriorated by now. So.
Yeah, it's probably.
So that will never see the light of day, unfortunately. Steve Martin was convinced to join the production after favoring two scenes he had read from the script, the seat adjustment scene in the car and the F-word tirade at the car rental desk. So he's like, I'm sold. Broken seats and F-bombs? I'm good. I'm good
there to
go. Put me in this movie. Many of the highway scenes were actually filmed on a stretch of unopened highway, U.S. Highway 219, that runs between Buffalo and Springfield, New York.
Ooh.
Oh, I like this. At the beginning of the movie, Neil Page races a character played by Kevin Bacon for a taxi. Later, Neil phones his wife to tell her that he has been delayed again. In the background, you can hear the fight from She's Having a Baby, also directed by John Hughes, between Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern when she screams that she doesn't like his friend's girlfriend.
Oh.
You can just hear it like the movie was playing in the background.
They probably needed ambient noise.
Ambient noise.
The scene.
So they used the
John
fight.
John Hughes is like, oh, yeah, just use my old movie.
I thought he was involved in that. That's why Kevin Bacon popped up in that one scene.
I think it was the movie that directly preceded this.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Oh, the movie ends with a freeze frame of John Candy with a tight-lipped grin. This is one of the points we were talking about what he was kind of feeling. Uncle Buck ends exactly the same way, a freeze frame of John Candy with the same expression.
Oh.
So it's the exact same kind of ending. That's quite interesting. This movie was only rated PG in New Zealand, even though the infamous 18 F-words is in under an 18-minute scene remains intact. Ooh. So apparently New Zealand is a little more lax about that stuff.
Yeah.
They do not care.
Well, She's Having a Baby was actually immediately after Planes, Trains, and
Automobiles. Oh, so they were working on this.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll slip this in a little bit.
It's like
preview.
Pixar Easter egg.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
that one came out
in
88, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was 87.
A scene that is not included in the movie, but featured in the trailer, shows Del in the bathroom of the first motel he and Neil are staying in. In the scene, he does, among other things, an impersonation of Elvis Presley, in which he sings into his hairbrush.
Oh.
Lyman Ward, Edie McClurg, and Ben Stein appeared in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We had pointed that out about the movie. That is Ferris's dad, Rooney's secretary, and Ben Stein's Bueller teacher. The original plot involved Del being a bungling vampire bent on trying to get Neil to invite him into his family's house. Vampires can only enter a house if they've been invited. John Hughes was so impressed with the on-screen chemistry between John Candy and Steve Martin that he removed the vampire plot from the script in favor of a more wholesome Thanksgiving theme.
Oh.
So it was going to be a vampire movie?
That's interesting.
A vampire comedy, I guess?
Like Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah. The exterior of the rental car was designed to resemble that of the Griswold station wagon from John Hughes' previous production, National Lampoon's Vacation, in 1983. Okay, and this is a good one to end on because I think this is going to kind of segue into our next segment. While riding the bus, John Candy sings the theme songs to the Flintstones from 1960. The Flintstones was John Candy's all-time favorite cartoon.
Oh.
So that's interesting. So,
Camp Candy wasn't his favorite?
No. Oh, yeah. I remember Camp Candy where he was the camp counselor.
Yeah.
What year was that? I don't remember.
That was probably, I want to say, like 89. Now I need to look it up. Because if it was 89, I'll be impressed. Yeah. If it wasn't, I will be.
I feel like it was a little later, like early 90s or something like that. Camp Candy.
Camp Candy, TV series, 1989.
Oh, the money. We should just quit while we're ahead.
We should
end right now with you doing a John Candy type lip grin. Yeah, the Cinemaniacs cannot see that.
Yeah,
happening.
it doesn't translate to audio.
Doesn't translate very well. But speaking of that Flintstone theme song that we brought up as being John Candy's favorite, I believe that's got good transition into our next King of the Thing. That was the theme song of the King of the Thing, at least for now.
Every week we have a different theme song.
But theme songs, I believe, is the subject on the docket.
Yeah, we're going to talk about theme songs today.
Excellent.
Because as we saw with this movie, with the Flintstones theme, there's a lot of great theme songs out there, instantly recognizable. Everyone knows them. Everyone can sing along with them. For my money, a few things that establish a great theme song. One, it's a catchy tune.
Yes. Come along with the Snorks.
Exactly.
Two, I'm guessing that's not...
Now, this one can be debatable, but it should in some way set up the show you're about to watch.
Ah, yes.
Now,
well,
sometimes
that
that's
can
explicit.
Be debatable, right?
Sometimes
yeah.
it's explicit in that it is actually outlining the premise of the show.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's more just establishing a feel.
Ah.
And when you combine it with the opening credits sequence, it will establish the world in a way.
Yeah, gotcha.
So some of these, as we go through, we might have to take a moment to discuss how they really fit into the show that they are presenting, but some of them are pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, I gotcha.
So those are the
two big
criteria to me. And then if we need a wild card that really helps us determine whether this one wins over another one, it should be if you are sitting on a bus trying to sing a TV theme song, will the entire bus be able to sing along?
Well, am I going to sing it if I'm going to sing it with Del Griffith, you know?
Yes.
So this is more of a, when we pit these against each other, it's which one you enjoy more, I guess?
Or which one you think is the better TV
okay,
theme song.
All right.
So starting off, we have to start off with the Flintstones.
Yes, and, as mentioned in this movie.
Yep, for this King of the Thing, while we have different seeds, everything is kind of arbitrarily ranked, so some of these matchups might be very uneven. So we're starting with the Flintstones versus California Dreams.
I remember that show.
Yeah, and do you remember the theme song?
Surf dudes with attitudes. Kind of groovy, laid back dude. I think that's all I remember.
But the fact is, both of us were able to pull out that
yeah.
first line from that theme song.
It was a TNBC show that came after like Saved by the Bell.
And like Hang Time.
About a band in California. Against the Flintstones? I mean, Flintstones is so iconic.
Yeah, I think Flintstones gets it.
Yeah,
it's more iconic.
Gonna, yeah, yeah.
And once again, it's really establishing the show.
And no one else will know California Dreams besides us, so.
I would not be surprised if some of our Cinemaniacs know it. But we'll go Flintstones on that one.
Okay.
Our next one, here we have two very iconic ones. We have the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh.
Very similar to the Flintstones in the let's lay out the entire
tells you
premise
what happens,
of the story.
Yeah.
We're going to give you all the information you need. Then you're ready to just jump in on any episode of the series. You
yep.
don't have to watch them all.
Yeah, you don't have to, no setup.
But then another one, very different, Mission Impossible.
Oh, man. Bop, bop. Because again, that's more of the feel, like it sets you up like now I'm in a covert mood and I'm a secret agent. I'm going to carry out a mission, you know.
Exactly.
So, hmm.
Now, both of these did have film adaptations
that's
in
true.
The 90s as well.
One better than the other,
yes,
I'd say.
We all appreciate the works of Jim Varney more than Tom Cruise, of course.
You got what I was going there.
Yeah, we
and
we,
Dietrich Bader.
Dietrich Bader, too.
Yeah. Ah, I don't know. Where are you leaning on this one? I always loved the Beverly Hillbillies. It's just a fun one. I like that this is kind of one of the pinnacle of setting up the story of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and it's like,
I think just on that level alone, I have to give it the edge.
Yeah.
Because it does make it so you can tune into any episode and not have to know anything else other than, okay, come listen to a story about a man named Jed. All that information, we find out that he found the Texas tea. Now he's rich and they live in Beverly Hills. So
well, that
Beverly
is
Hillbillies.
Black gold Texas tea.
So I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'd say so as well. I liked Mission Impossible, but the theme song wasn't the thing that hooked you. You can't have Beverly Hillbillies without that song, so.
Yeah. Mission Impossible, though, apologies to you. You have a great theme song.
You do have a great theme song.
Now, up next, we have one of your personal favorites, I know, the Golden Girls.
Oh, yes. Thank you for being a friend.
That was the most hard rock version of that I've ever heard. Versus Mr. Ed.
Oh. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. But no one could talk to a horse, of course. I'm always going to give a nod to my friends and confidants. So Golden Girls is my vote.
I vote for Golden Girls as well. This is one where we're moving away from the explicitly setting up the premise of the show. But it does give you a bit of the feel.
It does give
you
a feel.
Thank you for being a friend.
You feel like you're an old lady in Florida.
Yeah.
That's going to have wacky adventures.
Mr. Ed, it does entirely set up the premise that there's a talking horse.
Yep.
But it doesn't go much deeper than
that. That's it, yeah. Like, went as deep as the show, I'd say.
Yes, I would agree. Now, up next, we have two instrumental songs. And one of them might be a bit controversial to include here. But first, we have Sanford and Son.
Ah. Yep.
And second, we have Jeopardy.
Oh, the Jeopardy theme song. Oh, God. Well, I'm leaning towards Jeopardy because I watch Jeopardy every night to this day. I wasn't really a big fan of Sanford and Son. If anyone, also, if you're thinking, you're going to get a
So I
feel like it's more culturally significant.
Sanford and Son is falling into that Mission Impossible realm where it's a song that I do legitimately love.
Yeah, I like the song,
But Jeopardy, I feel, has more of the crossover appeal.
Yeah.
And it also, you can use it in any situation, and it immediately gives you that context. So
it gives you, like, it's thinking music. It's the thinking music. It's the, hey, you're taking too long to make a decision. I'm going to bust out the Jeopardy
theme. It's gone beyond just being the introduction to the show.
Yes.
To actually being something that has more cultural relevance.
Exactly. I'm down with Jeopardy.
We'll go Jeopardy on that one.
I pick Trebek.
Now, next, we have two stalwarts of the 90s. Well, one that has continued through the aughts and the aught-tens.
Aught-tens.
The Simpsons.
Ah.
And distinctively 90s, the Seinfeld. Or just Seinfeld.
And
Now, Seinfeld is one, again, it might be a little bit of a controversial choice.
Yes.
Because if I asked you to sing it, most people would just be like, it's the...
Yeah.
And they're not even really singing that song. It's got the blah-blah and the pops and the...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But it fits,
you're picking, like, in the 90s, show. My two favorite shows, pretty much.
Yes.
Simpsons and Seinfeld.
And Seinfeld, the theme does fit the show.
It does.
Usually it's accompanying Jerry doing a stand-up routine, gonna somehow...
Until they took out the stand-up thing at the beginning.
Yes.
Then it would just be like that, and then go into, like, what weird situation is Kramer up to right now?
Oh, that Kramer.
In the end, I think I gotta go with Simpsons. Yeah. I will always love that theme song, and it always makes me happy when I hear it.
I will not argue. All right, this might be one of our hardest matchups yet.
Okay.
Because it's a theme song that I very much enjoy, and a theme song that is iconic.
Oh.
So we have Full House.
Ah, whatever happened to predictability?
Milkman, the paper boy,
even in TV,
you miss your old familiar friend, waiting just around the bend. So I love Full House.
Yes.
I think it's a great theme song, but it's up against Gilligan's Island.
Oh, my God. Sit right back and you hear it.
So this is another one where they're setting up the entire plot of the series.
Yes.
So you can tune in at any time and just understand, here's the characters, and they're stuck on an island.
Yeah. This is a tough one. I mean, I do love that Full House one. It's a song that, you know, really gets you in the mood, especially for like a TGIF Friday night, and the family, couple hours going on, and here's your favorite family, the Tanners and everything. But then, like, Gilligan's Island, I used to sing that song when I was, like, 5 years old. Because, you know, by the time you got to Gilligan, the skipper to the millionaire, and just going through the roll call, I just love that and picking out all the characters.
Doesn't it combine, like, two characters into and the rest or something?
That was one of the versions.
Yeah.
That was one of the versions because the original version, they had the professor and Marianne. And then at one point, they had... And the rest. And I was like, you had two more people to say.
It was just like the Howls, right?
No, they always had that. The original version had all of them. The one they had kind of condensed at one point is when they went, Gilligan, the skipper to the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest. Instead of the professor and Marianne. So they cut out two people.
You know, on that basis.
Yeah.
I'm giving my edge to Full House.
Okay.
Which, there is an extended version.
Yes. But the fact that they mess with the original song?
Yeah.
Okay.
It changed it. And, you know,
don't mess with success.
We're most familiar with the condensed Full House version, but they also brought that over to Fuller House as well.
Ah.
So there is that continuity, that familiarity.
All right.
It's not like Boy Meets World where they had a different theme song for every
season. Oh, that's true. That's annoying. I do love the Gilligan's Island theme song, but since it's a tough one, I will go with Full House because, again, they mess with success.
They did not
need to.
When you mess with success, you get taken down a peg by the $5 Bin podcast.
Exactly. Boom, in your face.
Now we have, these are going to be two very different shows. First, we have Friends.
Ah, I'll be there for you.
And another show that starts with FR, Fraggle Rock.
Dance scares away. Ch-ch. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Down at Fraggle Rock. Down at Fraggle Rock. I love Fraggle Rock. It's a wonderful show. I love the theme song, but the Friends theme song is just... I bought the CD just for that song. I mean...
When you bought the CD, was your love life DOA?
It was DOA. I don't even think I had a love life at that when I bought it, but it might have been DOA.
I remember when the music video for that was dominating whatever show showed music videos.
Maybe
at that time.
VH1.
I think it was on VH1 a lot, yeah.
But so I got to go with the Friends theme song.
I will not argue there. All right, now next we have Mary Tyler Moore.
Ah, you're gonna make it after all.
Versus Saved by the Bell.
Oh, it's all right, because I'm Saved by the Bell, hands down. I mean, that was one of my favorite theme songs ever.
I think most TV files would probably disagree with us.
They probably would. But
yeah, Saved by the Bell.
I'm going to go with the Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get us to vote against Dennis Haskins.
That's true.
Now, this one is going to be very easy, I think.
Okay.
Cheers.
Ah.
Versus Family Guy.
Oh, okay. Cheers all the way. Cheers. I mean,
Family Guy, you have a good theme, but
Cheers
you're
up against is going to be tough to beat in the long run.
Yes.
I'm going to have that kind of earmarked as a favorite to take us into the final rounds. But yeah, you know, stranger things have happened.
Exactly. Up next, we have The Muppet Show.
Ah.
And The Monkees.
Oh, man. This
Here
is
we
tough.
Come walking down the street. Get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, with the monkeys.
And then, time to start the music. It's time to start the lights. It's time to get things started on the Muppet Show tonight. Man, I loved both. I mean, these two shows were like two of my comedy upbringings right here, you know? There's just the Muppets were of hilarious and the Monkees were hilarious and they really shaped my comedy styling. So I don't know, Brian. And I'm going to need a little input here.
Yeah. Both of them, I would say, have better songs.
Yeah.
Like the Muppets theme song is a great song, but they have better songs.
Oh, in the show.
The Monkees,
yeah.
I would say their theme song is one of their weaker songs.
That's true. It is one of their weaker songs. I mean, like Last Train to Clarksville or Daydream Believer. You know, you had so much. And the Muppets had, like, an iconic number of songs, too, throughout their show and everything.
With the Muppet Show itself, I would say that the number one song is the Muppet Show.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because a lot of their other songs that became big hits were off of the movies. Some were from Sesame Street. There's a few that were big off of the Muppet Show, but...
Right, and the Monkees, their songs, like you said, some of their songs are a lot better than their theme songs. So.
Yeah. On the level of setting up the show you're about to see. That one, it's... We're the Monkees. People say we monkey around. Whereas... The Muppet Show, I feel like it sets up the fact that it's a variety show.
The production started.
Yeah, we're starting the show. It works, and then you always have Gonzo at the end and the different shenanigans there.
All right, let's go with the Muppet Show. I like that.
Now, up next, we have one that's very similar to the Flintstones.
Okay.
Because it's the Jetsons.
Ah, the Jetsons. Meet George Jetson.
So this one, that's a song that just essentially gives you every character.
It does, yeah. You're just going through the list.
And another one that I think is going to be hard to beat, Perfect Strangers.
Standing tall on the wings of my dream. Now, I always love this song, but one of the things that, now we've, growing up through the years, we've been in music groups, we've had friends in music groups, a cappella groups, we've seen productions of like, a TV medley and stuff like that. And we saw one. My brother was in a group in college, had a TV medley. And always when he got to the Perfect Stranger song was the one that no one would recognize because not a lot of people know that theme song. I mean, we do because we love Perfect Stranger so much. But against a Full House and a Fresh Prince and other things like that, a lot of people hear that song. They go, that sounds familiar. I just didn't know what it was
from. But it's a great song.
It is a great song. Jetsons are funny because if we got down to like a Flintstones Jetsons head to head, it would be crazy because they were the same show except in like different time periods. But I always like the Flintstones better than that. And, you know, I do like that Standing Tall. It was always an inspirational song to me. Through the Streets of Chicago, it's like Balky.
It's like the greatest Balky American Bart, hero, Duncan which we don't have on this list. But believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Like, it's got that same, like, you could just use it to pump yourself
up. It's true. Yeah. All right, let's go with Balky.
Balky takes it.
Balky's doing a dance of joy right now. Da 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 da.
Now, up next, we have two unique families.
Oh.
First, we have
I like those.
The Addams Family.
Ba ba da da. Ba ba da da. Ba ba da ba. Ba ba da ba. Ba ba da ba.
And second, we have The Brady Bunch.
Here's a story of a lovely lady. Oh, man. These are like two. Every one of these songs is pretty much very iconic, so it's very tough to pitch these against each other. I got nothing on this one. I'm stuck.
Yeah, it's this is a difficult matchup.
This is very difficult. I mean, everyone knows the Brady Bunch theme song.
Yeah.
It's so great, and
it does set up the world.
Yeah, it sets up the backstory
right
away. It
sets up the backstory. I don't know how much you need the backstory, though.
Well, it does establish that they're not an actual biological family. Like, you
but
have
does that
kids
matter?
From one side, you have kids from the other.
In the course of the show, the only
they don't really ever play that.
The only
out,
reason
yeah.
they seem to need that piece of information is the fact that the boys all have curly hair or wavy hair,
like
and then
their
the
father.
Girls, the girls have blonde hair.
Yeah. I guess they never really get it.
Maybe it's
over
because
the
ages,
the
they didn't want people to think they were all supposed to be twins or something. Yeah. I don't know.
But I did like how the Addams Family, it was a bit different. I mean, the show in general, it was kind of different from the time because they were a family, but they were like creepy Halloween-y, you know?
They're like the monsters.
And I do like the word kooky.
They're creepy and they're kooky.
And mysterious and ooky. They even throw an ooky in there. Should I just arbitrarily pick it based upon ooky?
Okay. rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
If I win, it's Brady Bunch. If you win, it's Addams Family.
Okay. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Looks like Brady Bunch
looks
wins
Looks like
it.
Brady Bunch takes
All right,
it.
Okay. Brady Bunch. That was the most scientific way.
Neither
to
one of us were very invested, but all right,
we're doing this the best way possible to advance them. Rock, paper, scissors.
Exactly. Next, we have something from our childhood with a DuckTales.
Woo! Life is like a hurricane.
And try getting that out of your head now, everyone.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Versus modern day Game of Thrones.
Bum 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 bum
I'm pretty sure everyone has their own theme.
That's pretty good. In today's society, Game of Thrones is probably one of the most recognizable songs nowadays. I, as a kid, if we're putting this purely in the mindset of, hey, I'm Del Griffith, I'm on a bus, I'd be on birthday parties, long car rides, other travels with friends, and we would sing through the entire Disney afternoon.
Yeah.
It would just be a fun thing to do.
This is the only Disney afternoon show included
in this list.
Okay,
it's the representative.
It's representative because when you look at a lot of them, they are fairly similar in how they're set up. Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck,
Tailspin. Gummy Bears
bouncing here and there and everywhere. They're all great, but I think DuckTales is the pinnacle.
So if we're basing upon this, now again, if I have not done this going forward, this is what I'm now going to do. Putting myself in this scenario, I'm on the bus, I'm doing a sing-along. I'm not doing a Game of Thrones song sing-along.
Yeah.
So I pick DuckTales.
I agree. So next we have one that our friend Nate loves to do at karaoke, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh!
And we have Laverne and Shirley.
That's pretty good.
I'll tell you where I am. I'm 100% at Fresh Prince.
I was going to say, for the fact that I just started thinking and I couldn't get past the Schlemiel Schlemazel of Laverne and Shirley, and I was like, well, how does the rest of the song go? And I temporarily forgot. I'm sure I'd get it eventually, but yeah. I could sing you every last word of In West Philadelphia, Born and Raised.
But can you sing the extended version?
What?
There's like verses that are not included in the version we all
know. I can sing whatever's in the theme song of the TV show.
No, we once signed Nate up to sing this at karaoke.
Okay.
Against his will. We just signed him up and then he got called up and he had to do it. And then it got to the verses that were, you know, lyrics that he had been on maybe two episodes.
Really?
The entire series.
Like verse 2 and verse 3?
Setting up even more of the story. It's pretty interesting.
Interesting. Oh, well, we may have to find that at some point. All right, yeah, Fresh Prince all in.
And next we have MASH.
Oh.
And it does have words from the film.
Suicide.
It's a song about how suicide is painless.
Okay.
So that's a happy
it's very
topic.
Happy one.
And it's up against Sesame Street.
Oh.
Sunny days.
Again, just to kind of zip through, because how many more of these we have left?
So we have one more in this first round.
Okay, one more in this first round. But again, the zip through, I'm singing Sesame Street on a sing-along.
Yeah.
I'm not singing the MASH song. Hey, everybody, how about a rounding version of MASH?
With one person sitting there going, suicide is painless.
But he's really saying that.
And then finally, our last first round matchup is the Jeffersons versus the Twilight Zone.
Moving on up. Through the east side. I love the Twilight Zone. Love the theme song. One of my all-time favorite shows. But again, on the bus, I'm not singing the Twilight theme song.
Yeah.
The Jeffersons.
So we're going Jeffersons. All right. That brings us to round two.
Now, just to keep in mind. So before, there were a lot of picks I picked. Just out of that, hey, I like the show, I like the song more, but I'm really using this bus analogy to kind of push some of these through.
As I said
yeah.
at the beginning, that should be the tiebreaker in the mind.
Yes, exactly.
Which can you sing on a bus? So we've got the Flintstones versus the Beverly Hillbillies.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. I feel like a lot of people on the bus might not know the Beverly Hills ones as much, so let's stick with the Flintstones.
Flintstones, moving on. All right, now we have Golden Girls versus Jeopardy.
Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Not singing Jeopardy.
Simpsons versus Full House.
Oh, I love you, Simpsons, but if we're doing a sing-along, I think you got to go to the wayside.
Yeah. Friends versus Saved by the Bell.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm doing a tally. I'm standing up. I'm doing a tally. I'm saying who knows which of these songs most to sing along with. They're going to know the Friends song.
They're going to know Friends.
Yeah.
Cheers versus The Muppet Show.
Cheers, baby. Yeah.
Perfect Strangers versus The Brady Bunch.
More people are going to know The Brady Bunch, so I'm sorry.
I'm not voting for Brady Bunch.
Okay.
So.
I'm sorry, Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Okay.
I'm going Perfect Strangers.
Okay. I'm Brady Bunch. Ready? Rock, Paper, Scissors, Shoot.
Oh, we both did paper.
Rock, Paper, Scissors, Shoot.
Paper covers rock. Perfect Strangers gets
Perfect
it.
Perfect Strangers in an upset.
DuckTales versus Fresh Prince. Ooh.
Ooh.
This is a tricky one.
Ooh, this is a tricky one. Again, I'm on a bus. So I'm singing this.
I think both will get people singing on a bus.
You think so? But I think people would know Fresh Prince more than DuckTales.
I think I sang Fresh Prince more
yes.
on the bus than I did DuckTales.
Yeah, I think we got to go with Fresh Prince.
I'm sorry, Disney Afternoon.
It's a great song, but again, especially if you have a varying age ranges too, I think Fresh Prince was more a kind of the key demographics about.
And then finally, Sesame Street versus the Jeffersons.
Sesame Street's been on much longer than the Jeffersons. I'm going to have to go with that.
Yeah.
Just get standard more of the test of time where Jefferson's was just in the 70s.
All right, round three, Flintstones versus Golden Girls.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Ah, man.
I'm leaning Golden Girls.
Okay. I was going to argue against it because I'm saying Golden Girls is solely based on me. And I'm like, I think people would know Flintstones more if they were singing that along. But
I mean, that's the tiebreaker for me. Like, it's not necessarily, we're also going for just what's the best theme
if
song.
If I was sitting on a bus with a bunch of people, I'm throwing out that Golden Girls song. You know, even if no one jumps in and sings along.
Even if you're like Steve Martin.
Yeah. And like three coins in a fountain. Thank you for being a friend.
There's going to be at least one person that will join in.
Yes. That would be our former guest, John Eldred.
Yes.
All right. Golden Girls, move them on.
Now, Full House versus Friends.
Friends. I got to go with Friends on that one.
Cheers versus Perfect Strangers. I think Perfect Strangers' run has to end here.
Yeah, sorry. You did well, Balky, but you're not beating Cliff, Clavin, and Norm.
And Fresh Prince versus Sesame Street.
I want to go with Fresh Prince myself.
I'm leaning in that direction, too.
Yeah.
So that brings us now to our
Final Four.
Semifinals. Golden Girls versus Friends.
Oh, no. They're all friends. They're just of different ages.
Yeah.
Friends and confidence, you know? They both have the same message. Thank you for being a friend. I'll be there for you. They promote the same thing. Times like
Thank
this, I wish Rick was
a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. Okay.
Oh, is it pal?
Yep. So we've already had one mistake.
I messed up the song, yeah.
So now let's go to Friends.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
Your life's a joke, you're broke, your love lies to your way. It's like you're always stuck. Okay, you stumbled in. Twice.
Yeah, I'm just under pressure here.
But that means I'm leaning towards Golden Girls.
Okay.
Because you stumbled twice on Friends,
okay.
Once on Golden Girls.
We're doing the stumble test.
And next we have Cheers.
Yep.
And Fresh Prince.
Oh my God. So we should do the stumble test again.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Boom, boom, boom.
And they're always glad you came.
Boom, boom.
You want to be where people see your troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Oh. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playgrounds where I spent most of my days shooting all the time. I messed up.
So cheers.
Cheers, okay.
Well, fun fact there, since we just said goodbye to Fresh Prince.
Yes.
Both of us in our theatrical careers have played the role of Douglas Panch.
Oh, that's true,
in,
yes.
The 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Mm-hmm. So when I played the role, one of the words that I added to it was Maharaja, which is an Indian prince.
Yes, Indian prince, yeah.
So for the sentence that I gave them, I proceeded to do the entire Fresh Prince theme song, and then at the very end, to sit on my throne as the Maharaja of Bel-Air.
Very good.
It good, extended good the length use. Of the show by a full minute, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
Farewell, Fresh Prince. It brings us to our final, Golden Girls versus Cheers.
Oh, I can't even measure them against each other. If we're going to the previous stumble test, I did get through Cheers completely flawless.
Yes.
Where I did mess up on the Golden Girls. Although I have my love of my Golden Girls, I have two shows I've always loved, but one that has a bit more of my heart because it's set in Boston.
Yeah.
This is our hometown show here.
So let's go to the next layer. We're past all of our tiebreakers. We're going to the layer of what has been flawlessly parodied on The Simpsons.
Well, that would definitely be Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Flaming Moe's.
Because that just shows the pop culture value of Cheers. That
and
it can be instantly, flawlessly parodied, and you know exactly what they're going for.
And it's a small victory for a theme song that I love that we had to say goodbye to before.
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Yeah. So. All right, Cheers.
Cheers is our
Cheers
king
is our king of the thing. Sometimes you want to go where everybody kings the thing. And they always ring the ding.
You want to sing where
everybody sing. Troubles are all the ring. You want to go where
everybody
has
a wing.
The end.
The end.
King of the Thing. That was a long segment, Brian.
That was.
So
that's what we call filler in the business.
Yeah, so we do have to touch upon two quick sections really quick. I think we are going to just skip over aware of these actors gone this week because during the main episode, we kept going, hey, it's that guy and that guy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in this movie. The cameos are aplenty. But one of the things I do want to bring up is the connection from our previous reviews.
Yes, I have none.
Okay.
Because I forgot everyone who was in Mom. Monster Squad
so
already?
So this will go very quickly. So Monster Squad was our past reviews it, and our current one, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Two steps for you, Brian. The first is, and both used that character actor Stan Shaw, who is in lots of things. The guy that was the cop dad, Dell's partner.
Okay.
As you do recall, we did do two movies back to back with someone named Dell, by the way.
Oh.
So Stan Shaw was in the movie Houseguest with Phil Hartman.
Oh.
And then Phil Hartman was in Three Amigos with Steve Martin.
Oh, yes.
And then we can go Stan Shaw was in the movie Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
And then Eddie Murphy was in Bowfinger with Steve Martin.
Oh, Bowfinger.
So both a Stan Shaw to Steve Martin connection.
Someday we'll find it, the Stan Shaw connection.
I found it.
Martins.
Steve Martin,
Eddie
John
Murphy,
Candy,
and me.
I think kind of the last thing we're going to do, we have time for, is a bit of a catch-up from our past movie reviews. It because we actually forgot to rank Monster Squad.
Oh.
So we'll be ranking both Monster Squad. Squad
to do.
And Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. All right. Now, I know we wanted to kind of have Rick back for some of these rankings, but
yes,
unfortunately, we need to push on because he has the plague.
The plague, the plague.
He's got the Ebola. I know we kind of had differing opinions of this, so
yes.
Where do you think you would start this movie in terms of other ones within the genre? We'll already throw out that I like this movie better than Hocus Pocus, but I know that was a point of contention.
If you like it better than Hocus Pocus, I could put it between Batman Forever and Hocus Pocus.
All right, let's do that.
I could not do any better than that, though.
Done and done. So at number 46, The Monster Squad. So moving on. So another thing we kind of, as a point of baseline for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, is we kind of were pitting this against other R-rated travel buddy movies we were talking about. We were talking about starting off maybe around the Midnight Run.
Yeah, so we'll start at Midnight Run and then probably move up.
So Midnight Run was at
number 17.
Number 17.
And for the record, Great Outdoors is currently at 21 before
yes,
we factor this
not
in.
Not too far.
So, not too far.
Not a big gap.
But I would say this is better than Great Outdoors.
Yes.
And I would say it's better than Midnight Run.
Yep, I agree.
And it's better than Three Amigos, which is at number 18.
Number 18. So then we have another travel movie, Trials and Tribulations on the Road. Adventures in Babysitting was at 20.
Yeah.
So it's right in that range. It's right. I mean, this is the group category that it should be around, but it's better than all those.
Let's jump higher.
Okay.
Let's just jump up and then work our way down.
Okay.
So let's start at like number five.
Number five, Batman.
Would you say this is better or worse than Batman?
I gotta go with Batman.
Okay. So then let's jump down to 10. Labyrinth.
Labyrinth? I mean, it's such a different movie. I could argue
well, then
above
11,
or below.
11 is Spaceballs. So that's another John Candy flick.
Yes, another John Candy movie. Right. I can already throw, I know what Rick would say.
Rick would say Spaceballs.
Rick would say Spaceballs. For nostalgia factor, I would go with Spaceballs too, because I definitely watched that movie more than this one.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're two different John Candy movies. One's almost like a joke a minute everything, where one's like, here's an elaborate plot
here's
with
a,
an arc where things
movie.
Go long. So you like that one better. Okay.
Okay, so in this range, we have Spaceballs, Batman Returns, Independence Day, Gremlins, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Top Secret, then Midnight Run. I would say it's definitely above Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
I agree.
I would probably put it above Gremlins.
Okay.
It's better than Independence Day, but do I put it above Independence Day? Better than Batman Returns.
It's definitely better than Batman Returns.
I feel like I would maybe even put it above Labyrinth, but
yeah, it's getting tough for me there. I don't know, because there's just different genres of movies.
Well,
I don't know.
Since Rick doesn't have a say,
yeah,
how about we put it between Spaceballs and Batman Returns as giving him a say?
Okay, yeah, because obviously he would have voted for that.
He would have voted for Spaceballs.
Yeah.
He probably would be having the same I don't know about it with us about Batman Returns, so I think that's a good spot for it.
All right, so at number 12, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We got it stack ranked.
We got it ranked.
We got it ranked. We got it ranked. Well, I think we should probably bid adieu before we do even more singing to the Cinemaniacs. They're probably sang out at this point. We didn't know this was going to be such
a
musical
episode.
And on that note,
that is a good transition. There we go.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick, who's, again, ill with that, and Brian,
ill with that.
Just remember, You can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're the Martonic family. From the town of Bedrock, they're a patriot out of history. When you're with the Flintstones, have a yabba-dabba-doo time, a yabba-doo time, you'll have a gay old time.
Mark, whatever happened to predictability?
The milkman?
The paperboy. Evening TV.
I miss my old familiar friends.
They're waiting just around the bend.
Everywhere I look.
Everywhere
there's
you
a
look,
heart.
There's a heart.
I need to hold on to.
Everywhere you look.
Is a face.
Somebody who needs you. When you're lost out there and you're on your own. Night is gathered you home.
Everywhere you look. Brian, I have to sing a song to my wife, Becky, and my two kids, Nikki and Alex. If every word you said could make you laugh, I'd talk forever.
Oh. That was on that show, right?
I asked the sky just what we had. We show forever. Forever,
forever, I've been so happy loving you.
I saw the sign, it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign, life is demanding without understanding. I saw the sign,
Michelle,
and it opened
smiling,
up the...
Michelle smiling.
That's the sound of the men working on the train. Gay. Oh, don't you know? That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gay. I got some juice and cookies for you.
Your teddy bear.
My teddy bear.
I want
just
you
to be my teddy bear. Louie Lua. Oh, honey, say we gotta go. Yeah. I don't know the rest of the words. Nobody knows. Go back to the chorus. Louie Lua. Oh, honey, say we gotta go. Yeah. The cheese stands alone. The cheese stands alone. Honka honka stinky cheese. The cheese stands alone.
What day is today?
Today is Mother's Day.
What day is today?
Today is Mother's Day.
The Full House Mega Mix.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews. It. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 bin POD, like us on Facebook, or email us at the5dollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes, and when you do, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why? Thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit NaticImprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, baby airplane food eaters. Yum.